T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Of Morning Roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. You want to talk about weird news as we say good morning to everybody out here. Just saw a report from our boy Rob Stach Guerrera. Stats on fire. Drake Greenlaw wasn't the only 49er to tear his Achilles during the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan said today that secondary coach Daniel Bullock, who was in consideration for the D coordinator job, did the same thing, celebrating Jair Brown's interception on the first drive of the second half.
Damn.
He stayed on the sideline for the entire game, but he tore his Achilles celebrating.
What?
This is crazy.
Martin Gramatica on line one.
Wow. Well, I guess I see why you didn't get the job.
Jeez Louise.
Can't move around much.
Can I read you a tweet that I thought was excellent?
Oh, what's that?
From Andrew Brandt. Either Otani is not telling the truth, or in the history of the world, he has the worst, pick one of these, best friend, interpreter, accountant, manager, agent, and bank.
That sounds very accurate.
Yeah.
Which part?
All of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if he really is innocent in all of this, then his representation completely left him in the dark through this whole thing. Like, no, dude, you got to get new people around you.
No,
like,
you do.
They did you no favors with this.
Yeah, this is ongoing here. We'll talk to Darren Revell at 9:20 or 9:30.
9:20.
We'll talk to Darren Revell about this gambling and sports and the Shohei situation. But Nick Friedell is going to come up at 8:30 as we say good morning to everybody on YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. The Comcast Business Text Line. And shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed.
My favorite comment.
Brought to you by Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain.
My favorite comment. SF Bay drummer. Bullocks wouldn't have gotten hurt if he was up in the booth. I mean, is that just, we're just always going to talk about being on the sidelines and in the booth from here on out?
Isn't that what intrigues you for Nick Sorensen? Is he going to be on the sideline or the booth? Is he going to be emotional? Is he going to be fist pumping? Or is he going to be stoic?
Do coordinators talk? Are we ever going to get a chance to talk to him?
I want to get to know this guy. Oh, by the way, the NFL is planning to play another game this year on Christmas, which is on a Wednesday this year.
Oh,
so Wednesday football game's coming to the NFL.
I mean, it's just a matter of time before there's a football game every single day for the rest of life.
Greedy ass Roger Goodell in the NFL, man. We need a day off.
We're concerned about safety. We'll ban the hip tackle. Play on 2 days rest.
Wow. It's just unbelievable. By the way, all right, we got Warriors of Heat. And the conversation we had yesterday got into a heated conversation about Kuminga and whether or not he should close or whatnot. He's been closing most games. I agree that he should close most games, but I didn't think he had it with Sunday in crunch time. Warriors are trying to win a game. What do you want them to do? But I'm looking here at Salvador on YouTube, and he goes, the Warriors should sit Curry the rest of the season. Let their rookies play the rest of the game. Rest of the games. So right now the Warriors are one game up in a loss column by the Houston Rockets. And I get it. You may not think they're going to, if they do make the play-in, they're probably going to, most fans think they're going to lose to the Lakers in L.A. and be going home anyway. So you're only playing one extra game. But are there fans out there, 888-957-9570, who want to basically punt on the season. And when I say punt, I'm saying, hey, Wiggins, you're only going to see 15 minutes. Hey, Clay, you're only going to see 10, 15 minutes. Hey, CP3, you're only going to see 10, 15 minutes. Hey, Curry, we're not going to play you down a stretch. What does that look like? What do you mean, guys like Salvador or whoever wants to see the youngsters close all the games? Do you want to punt on a season?
Well, I think
I'm not willing to do that.
I want to make a distinction. Maybe that's what this individual is asking for, but I disagree. I want to see Kuminga finish games, but I don't know if right now Pajemski and TJD, you know, depending on who's out there and who's playing well, who's available and what the situation is, like, yeah, maybe they close, but no, it should not be like baked in that I'm going with all the young guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still trying to win games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to win games, but I'm also trying to develop this one guy. Right, and Jonathan Kuminga for the closing role because I want him to be able to take the next evolutionary step
right
in his career so that I understand what I have for next year because I also have to have a big-term goal. I look at this like any major corporation, right? I'm trying to develop for the future, but I'm trying to make profit now, like right now, and profit in this particular case is winning games. You're not punting on the season. There's too much money involved.
Yeah.
And also you owe it to the Clay, Dre, Steph combination to allow the whole thing to win or lose on its own accord. You don't self-sabotage it. No, I don't think that that's what they'll do, and nor do I think that's what they should do. Now, Wiggins, I put him on a different level
right.
than those other guys. He's clearly not a youngster, but I also don't think he has the earned equity of the core.
Even after winning the championship a couple years ago? Did he lose the equity because he's been away from the team for personal reasons?
He's played himself out of it. Like, I look at Kevon Looney. Who has more franchise equity
right.
between Wiggins and Kevon Looney.
Right.
Right? Now, Wiggins is a better player than Kevon Looney, but Kevon Looney means a lot to the fans and to this organization and the things that he's done. Am I holding what he did 2, 3, 4 years ago up high to make a case right. for why he should continue to play now? No. So, I draw the distinction right there.
Now, Kuminga and look, I thought a lot about our conversation yesterday about, you know, Kuminga should have been playing last year. And I thought he did play, and especially when Wiggins left for 2 months. Kuminga got a lot of playing time, and we saw him ascending dead, which is why
yeah.
it was kind of frustrating to see Wiggins come back and Kuminga lose all his minutes and not get a lot of rope. But I do believe he played. But you brought up Kawhi yesterday. I was thinking about it at home and thinking about all the youngsters who played on championship contenders. And I think about Kuminga's inexperience. He was a raw prospect coming out from the G League Ignite. There's no doubt. He was raw, but you could see the talent oozing out. When I look at Kawhi and that San Antonio situation, I wasn't thinking about it in real time because we were in a heated debate, but you think about Kawhi, he was a Sweet 16 player with San Diego State who lost to UConn. I believe they lost to Kemba that year. Could have been Kemba or could have been Shabazz Napier. I forget which guard he lost to in the Sweet 16. It was down to Arrowhead in the pod. Mm-hmm. San Diego State lost that game.
With
Kawhi Leonard.
Jimmer Fredette, BYU.
When he didn't lose to Jimmer.
He did. Well, yeah,
not the tournament. Not the NCAA tournament.
I think he did.
Nah, he lost to UConn.
Ooh, I'll Google it.
Google it. But Kawhi came in a little more experienced defensively. Like, defensively, Kawhi, mm-hmm. his IQ as a team defender was there. And therefore, San Antonio was able to allow him to come slowly, knowing that, hey, you don't have to carry an offensive burden. Right now, we're asking Kuminga to be basically the number two option with the starters for a 21-year-old kid. So, but I hear what you're saying, that he should get all the reps, all the experience. I hear that. But sometimes in a game where it's like, dude, you just went 4-17. You struggled against the Pacers. I don't, like, this team has so many guys who are capable of finishing, which is part of the problem. You don't have a consistent five who can finish. I got no problem with Kuminga taking a step back in Minnesota saying he played 30 minutes.
But I guess where if I get frustrated is I hear you're on like, oh, he is your second most reliable scorer. Well, if that's the case, then it's a contradiction right. to not have him out there.
But I saw the mistake.
Court gets a little congested.
But I saw the mistakes, and the court was very congested. But I saw the mistakes both offensively and defensively. And you still try to win games. You're still trying to get to this playoff hunt. You're still trying to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Wiggins, I thought, in the game on Sunday, was having a better defensive game than J.K. But we're nitpicking here. The fact is, J.K.'s getting a lot of rope. And we know what J.K. needs to do to improve, but we also know there's some talent there. Can you build around him for the future? I have no idea yet. What does it look like without Steph? But then I start thinking about, all right, this team has to, like, Orlando, right? Orlando's a matchup. When they play the Magic tomorrow, it's going to be a matchup between the highest payroll and the lowest payroll in the NBA. And Orlando's a better team. Right now, when you look at the records, the Warriors are the 19th best team in the NBA. Think about that. They're the 19th best team in the NBA.
For now.
For now.
Yeah,
I mean, they can
knows?
Drop. They can
That's
drop.
What I'm saying.
But like, right now, they're the 19th best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
So where is this going? Where is this exactly going with the core?
Cancun.
You know, well, Cancun.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, at some point.
At some point, however, when you got big money players on this roster and you don't, and you may not even make the play-in. So when people say major changes are coming, what are those major changes? Because every dynasty does not end well. The Giants dynasty did not end well. The Harbaugh years did not end well. Yeah. Steve Young's years did not end well. The Chicago Bulls, we watched the last dance, did not end well. San Antonio is still recovering from the Duncan, Ginobili, Parker era. They still haven't been able to get back to where they were. The Heatles took a sabbatical for a couple years. I mean, the Boston Celtics. You know, I asked Willie this a couple weeks ago. Said, what was it like playing the Celtics in the 80s? He goes, in 85, 86, 87, you're going to the Boston Garden, you're like, damn, it's Bird, it's Mikal, it's Parrish. We got no shot. Got no shot whatsoever. It's just different. And I started thinking about the Curry, Clay, Draymond, KD years at Oracle Arena where teams came in and they had no shot. But Willie goes, a few years later, when they did get older, and he goes, I had to play where I picked Larry Bird. Went down the other end for a layup, and this was like 89. And he's like, damn, these ain't the same Celtics. The R is gone. They need to pivot. They got to start thinking ahead. Same thing with the Great Western Forum. What's Magic left and Worthy left and Kareem left? It's like, oh, these aren't the same old Lakers. R is gone. But all good things come to an end. And I just started thinking yesterday, I was like, damn, we may be at the end game with this current iteration of the Golden State Warriors. In the way they play.
Who are the most beloved athletes in Bay Area sports history?
Joe Montana,
okay.
Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, Roger Craig, Barry Bonds, Will Clark, Matt Williams.
Okay.
I don't know if Jeff Kidd's
Every
beloved.
Every single one of those guys that you referenced played on multiple teams.
Exactly.
Every one of them. I don't know why there's this thing like so-and-so needs to retire you know, in the uniform that they've only worn. And look, it sounds great, but sometimes the interests don't align up. The player's interest, the cycle of where the organization is, the team's interest or what they're looking for in a player. Like Chris Mullin is one of You talk to people our age, it's one of the greatest Warriors of all time.
Right.
All right. I know we've forgotten because there have been so many great
right.
Warrior teams of recent, but like, he is the Warriors to me.
Yep.
It's him, it's Al Addles, it's Wilt. You know what I mean? For a lot of people.
Nate Thurman, Rick
yes.
Barry.
No doubt. There's other people. But like, Mully is that guy. He's the symbol. Broke my heart to see Mully go yep. with the Pacers. Did I look at him even a little less?
No.
No. You know what I said? I was like, it was time. The guy wanted to go win a championship, and we were rooting for him to win a championship,
right.
You know, to go away. It stinks.
He almost did.
Tonight, we're going to get Pablo Sandoval's final start at Oracle, most likely, okay? Pablo Sandoval, not as accomplished as any of those guys you referenced, but very lovable.
Still
and there was a period of time, maybe Giants fans viewed him a little different
right.
in terms of like, oh, he left us and blah, blah. But as time has gone on, I think the majority of Giants fans, you bring up Pablo's name and they think fondly of him. I see Frank Gore. Frank Gore to me is the epitome of what being a 49er means. Is Frank Gore any less of a 49er? Because
no.
he played for like 8,000
no.
teams.
Ronnie Lott played for the Jets or the Raiders. People forget that. Jerry Rice played for the Seahawks, Broncos, and the Raiders. Still beloved as a Niner. So
I guess
with
where
that
I'm going,
said,
yes.
you're saying with Stephen Curry.
Well, not just Steph. I'm just saying in general, like, in my heart of hearts, like, if it were a video game, I would love everyone to finish as Warriors.
But it may not happen.
But the reality is it's not feasible.
Well, but not only that, it may not be best for what the Warriors need to accomplish. At some point, look, things are not going to be pretty when Steph Curry decides to walk.
That's obvious, yes.
Like, it's
yes,
not going to be yes. pretty. There's going to be a rebuilding cycle. There's going to be 3 years where people forget about the Golden State Warriors, and then they'll come back and burst onto the scene with some new young talent, and we'll be talking about life after Curry. But at some point, you had to press the eject button. Or you will become the San Francisco Giants of 2018, 19, well, 2020.
It feels like that's where they're at currently.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
It feels like that.
If they re-sign Klay Thompson, which I get why they would want to. You don't have a lot of shooting on his team. Klay Thompson's still one of the best shooters in this league. It would be hard to let him go, but it may happen. It may happen. But this thing may be over. It may be over. And what we're watching maybe is the beginning of the end as teams have caught up, as the Warriors have battled their tip place. You heard Draymond Green yesterday or after the game Sunday said, we're still making breakdowns. We're still losing. It's not good right now. We're too quiet on defense. This summer, I believe Stephen Curry, I hate saying this. I don't even want to say this. And this is just me just talking as a fan. It would not surprise me if the Warriors went to Steph Curry and just asked him this summer, what do you want to do? What do you want? What do you want? When you look at the situation, what do you want? Are we closer to a championship? Because it's not an overnight fix. One offseason is not going to fix this. You're not going to just all of a sudden catapult from 10 to 1 unless you're making multiple trades for multiple stars. And I don't know. I don't see the avenue in that. I don't know who's going to be available. I don't know who's going to be on the block. But at some point, you're going to have to pivot. And is that pivot point now? Have we reached that pivot point?
When you say, what do you want? Do you mean to stay a Warrior or not?
Yeah, what do you want? What do you want?
Yeah, I don't think Warrior fans are ready to have that conversation.
They're not. But it may be a conversation we have to face. Because are we getting closer and closer? Like, the young guys are not ready to help win that championship. They're ready to help play hard, win a couple regular season games. But you know what? It is hard in the playoffs. Like, to ask Podziemski, who played, 30-something games in his last season in college, we're already in the 60s, folks. We're going to game 70s tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, actually, game 70 was Sunday. At some point, you hit a rookie wall. At some point, you're going to struggle. He's never been in a situation. So to ask him to help carry a load, to ask TJD, to ask Kuminga to play perfect basketball in his third year and the first year, really, in which he's seen extended minutes, is pretty unfair.
So let's play this out, okay? And no one, 99.9% of Warrior fans want Steph Curry on the team, and they'll move heaven and earth around him to keep him here. Hypothetically, and you brought up San Antonio after Duncan and whatnot. They did go to the playoffs a couple of times, I believe. Once with DeMar DeRozan, correct? And one time with Kawhi, right?
Yeah, they made the Western Conference Finals with Kawhi.
Not the same not success. The same, not we the would same agree. Team. But right now, like, this Warrior version is the 10th seed. Yeah. Might be the 11th seed.
They're the 19th best team in the entire NBA.
Okay.
19th best team.
All right. So they're like scratching and clawing to just get to where they are right now. So, like, getting to the second round would be an upgrade, is where I'm going at with this.
Right.
And then I look at LeBron. When LeBron has left a place, it hit Cleveland hard for a couple years. But I look at Cleveland now, and I'm like, Cleveland's in a pretty good spot.
Right.
And they've done a good job. Miami, when LeBron left Miami, yes, there were the Dion Waiters, Hassan Whiteside years. They've been to two finals since LeBron left,
right?
Which is kind of crazy.
They haven't won it yet, though.
No doubt.
And they were able to do make some shrewd moves.
And the bubble is different,
yeah,
and I
no
know.
Doubt.
But, like,
no doubt.
But I hear you on not winning. But, like, well, if you're a real old-school Warrior fan, we were kind of accustomed to, like,
no doubt.
Not winning championships.
No doubt. But, when, you know, and
there are different versions.
I see someone from the 408 coming at me here about dynasties, and it doesn't matter. Like, the fact that the Warriors have lasted over a decade
is one of the greatest runs ever.
In a salary cap league where movement is limited in terms of trying to bring star players, they've dominated for over a decade. Like, I get the Spurs. They never won back-to-back, the San Antonio Spurs. They never went back-to-back during that run.
Which is
crazy. They won five championships, but they never went back-to-back. But, like, when the Lakers traded Shaq, they're our first-round team, and they struggled. Once they grabbed Nash and Dwight Howard, it was like, oh, boy, Gasol's moved on. It's over. All I'm saying is, no matter how long they last, dynasties, the end game is not always pretty. And right now, it doesn't look pretty for the Golden State Warriors.
No.
Being the 19th best team in the NBA and the 10th best team in the Western Conference, we're fending off the Houston Rockets. Nobody had that on their Beagle card. So what do you do this offseason?
So let me pick a team just in sports that I view as a high-level team that finds a way to regroup and doesn't win it all every year. Like, I look at the St. Louis Cardinals, and I think they operate the way I would want, as a fan, the way I would want to operate. They're in on everyone, right? And baseball's so different, but they're in on everyone. They have no no problem reloading. They have no problem drafting and developing. And they're always in the mix. That doesn't mean that they always win. They just had their worst season in like 30 years last year, okay? I look at the Miami Heat in basketball. I always feel like the Miami Heat find talent, they develop talent. But to your point, yeah, they haven't won the big one.
Right, but no, but they do find talent.
And
they
does do, feel like they're in the mix.
They find a way to be competitive. They find a way to be competitive at a high level.
Right.
So, that's all I would want.
No,
I
mean, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I don't know what they're going to look like post-Steph. But if you told me they modeled themselves after organizations like that, like the Green Bay Packers, they just moved off of Aaron Rodgers. Right. Most people thought the Packers were done.
Right. They get a little success in the playoffs. You win the game. You play promising. The Niners tough. And now you got some young talent here.
Now,
they've done a great
different.
Job. But they've done a great job over the years of maintaining a competitive roster. The New England Patriots, life after Tom Brady, how's that working out?
Not good.
They went to the playoffs the 1 year, and now you're on a different coach. And a different quarterback, and different personnel.
Well, they're starting fresh.
They're starting over. Starting but that's fresh. What happens when dynasties
no
are
doubt.
Over, basically.
No
they
doubt.
They start fresh.
The end of the Yankees. Like, think about that. The end of the Red Sox. They had a couple of really bad years.
Right.
You know?
Post Bonds was rough for the Giants.
Oh, well, thank God they had Lincecum, because that was a draw. But you're right.
But it was like a 3-4 year period where it was like, oh, Giants baseball. Yikes. And all of a sudden, you could get a seat in the bleachers for $10.
Yeah.
Just like that. So, all I'm saying is it doesn't always end pretty. What's the best way to reloading here and becoming a competitive team? Because, again, Oklahoma City's not going anywhere. They've got like 9 guaranteed first-round picks over the next 5 years.
And can we all acknowledge, like, whether you think Lacob is the smartest person who's ever been around or something in the middle, he's not an idiot.
No.
We're not going back to the Cohan era. I think Warrior fans need to acknowledge that.
No.
Now, it's very difficult to draft and to develop in the NBA. And yes, Bonte, you could plausibly miss on draft pick after draft pick after draft pick and be bad for 3 or 4 years. But to act like we will be incompetent, because that's what we were before. We were incompetent. We're not incompetent.
No.
You got to trust the leadership to some degree. It doesn't mean they're going to replicate the last dynasty.
Right.
What you just saw was generational. We might not ever see that in any
sport.
No,
we may not. But you know one thing about the Lacobs and Dunleavy is they will be aggressive.
That's what I'm saying.
That's one thing. And I could live with an aggressive owner knowing that when it comes to the big names or when it comes to bringing in talent or building or having a competitive roster, these guys are going to try to do that.
I agree.
They're going to be aggressive and try to accomplish that. They're not going to get every decision right. Like the Kelly Oubre Jr. thing, I know they took a lot of heat for that move. I like the move. Klay Thompson was announced that he was out for the season. They were trying to get back into the playoffs. We got to pivot. Who's out there? Well, let's get the best available 2 or 3 guard out there. Let's get Kelly Oubre Jr. Now, it didn't work out. It was a bad fit. But they swung big. Would you rather him swing for that type of move or just stand pat? Because he would have got crushed by Steady Pat. They're getting crushed for Steady Pat for this past deadline where there was nothing really available for them. That would have made them better. That would have catapulted them to the top of the Western Conference. So, life, you may have to have that conversation this summer. You're the 10th best team right now in the Western Conference, Shasky. The 19th best team in the NBA. Something's got to shake. Something's got to shake. We're going to talk to Nick Friedell on the other side, preview this Warriors Heat game, as Cousin Nick will come back on to the roast. It's been a while for Cousin Nick. Nick Friedell, he'll join us here on the roast, brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores.
This conversation is hurting my soul.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and the Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. What up, Steph? What up, Steph? We'll see you in Miami later on today, 4:30 p.m. tip. I just told baby Chess we got to be back at home. Chester, we have to be back at home at 4:15 to watch the game. I got the day off for Warriors pre and post. So we're watching Miami Warriors on the big screen. So Chester, lock in. Lock in. Warriors of Heat coming up 4:30 today. We'll talk to Cousin Nick. Let's get to Willa Marin real quick. Willa Marin. Long time no talk to Willa Marin. Let's get him on before Cousin Nick. What up, Will?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to say that in recent memory, Mr. Lacob is probably the only owner that's ever talked about it and then been about it. He literally came in and asked us, what do we want? Do we want to be champions? Do we want to get banners? We all laughed at him, and he brought us banners still. And then guess what? When we fumbled and we came up short, He didn't just make an adjustment. The guy went out, spent money, and got the most elite I am him ISO player in Kevin Durant to back that up. Fumbled with Kelly Oubre, brought back the core, got some really good players, believed in Looney, and then we won another championship. The reason why I believe in him is that he's not afraid to spend his own money to make things good. When they have a chance, he's not just going to sit around and hope for the best. He's going to try to make us actual contenders and win. He said he was going to put a contender on the hardwood floor, and he did. We are not going to be irrelevant. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the Cleveland Browns. This is not the Detroit Lions of the 90s and the early 2000s. We have a legit ownership who's willing to spend money if the price is right, and he's going to put people on the floor. He didn't give up on Curry. We have the best shooter in the world. We're going to be fine. He knows what he's doing. Thanks, guys.
Great call.
But I will say this. All the goodwill, everything. You trade Steph Curry. Even if Steph wants out, it's going to be the most unpopular decision of all time.
No doubt. It will be.
Even with Joe Montana, you had Steve Young. Only one guy could play quarterback. Right. And you alienated your own fan base.
Right. No doubt.
And you won still a Super Bowl.
And people are still talking about it to this day.
I know.
You don't.
Like, what
you
other
don't,
decision is even close?
But if Curry wants out,
no, I
what
know.
Do you do?
But
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I don't. And I again.
But
I don't
get
want
all the blame.
But Laker I don't want to put that out there. I don't want social to clip us saying that. Oh, Curry wants out. We don't know that.
People
we don't know
95-7 the game.
Yeah. I just want to put that out there and get ahead in front of us. Or just because all scenarios are going to be on the table this offseason, all of them, including Steph. And we have to be comfortable having that conversation. It's been 15 years, folks. 15 years. What does he want? All right. Let's get to cousin Nick Friedell here on the Morning Roast.
Take me for a ride on a slow bus in Chinatown.
Where in the world is
the sexiest voice in all of sports media, Nick Friedell?
Nick has this rugged masculinity that all of us at ESPN are jealous of.
I don't know about friend of the program because I think you're lumping me in with being a friend of Friedell, and I don't want to be associated with all that.
Thank you, Nick, and your voice is very deep and sexy.
What you gonna do, brother, when Mac Jones is coming for you?
How would you describe the level of hope that everyone else spoke with yesterday in regards to what James Wiseman brought?
What are they talking about regarding Wiseman and like the impact he can make this season?
Yeah, just how much.
Obviously, you can't predict the future. We'll see what happens this summer. But would you be willing to take less money?
Bro, I'm not seeing your questions no more. I'm sorry. Next question.
On the line is Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Cousin Nick, it never gets old. Long time no talk. Hey, last time I saw you, you're on Twitter taking a picture of Sarah Spain at a Cubs spring training game. Now I just hear you came from Tokyo. Life is good for Cousin Nick right now. What the hell are you doing talking to us this early?
I mean, it's never going to get old, B. Every time I hear y'all's voice and I hear that clip one more time, I get a big smile on my face. So everything's good. And actually, I was in Seoul the other day for that first Dodger-Padre game. So,
did you bet on the Dodgers?
No. I wish I had seen Ipe in between and, you know, maybe throw down a couple bucks. But it was cool as hell, and it's been real fun just getting to travel around a little bit.
Nick, let's start right here. I miss
he's
you.
He's now an Odyssey insider. He's getting paid. Dude, Odyssey jumped on this quick.
I seen you wrote a little something for The Ringer, too.
Yeah. When I left ESPN, I I had a couple stories I had been working on for a long time, and one of them was on Markelle Fultz.
Mm.
And when I left, they let me keep the quotes and the time that I put in on those. And one of my old friends is an editor at The Ringer, and it found a place. But for those that don't know, I mean, Markelle Fultz's story is pretty cool, just given that he was the number one pick. Everybody was kind of ready to write him off completely out of the league, and he found his way back in Orlando. And he hadn't had the year that he's wanted to have, and certainly he thinks he still has a lot of time left, but he's become very quickly, guys, somebody that entire room works with and respects the hell out of. And it was a cool story to report on, and it's been really interesting to follow his journey the last year plus, and I think he's got time left to prove that he can stay in the league a lot longer. But either way, no matter what happens from here, he has shown a lot, because we all know there are a lot of top picks that just kind of fade away.
Yep.
You don't hear from him again. Yep.
We know nothing about that over here.
Yep. Yeah, right. Not at all.
No, not at all. Speaking of Orlando, the Warriors are seeing them tomorrow night, and Orlando's kind of my man crush team. I'm always talking about Paolo Banchero and Wagner and how they have some of the worst three-point shooting in the league, and they have a lot of money this offseason. Klay Thompson, maybe that's a destination. Who knows? They're fifth in the East, and they're having a nice little run here. But we'll get to them a little bit later. But the Warriors, Nick. Coming off their bonus championship, you said it, not me. They lose to the Lakers last year at 6, and now they're in 10th place with the Rockets, just a half game behind them. So, what do you make of the Golden State Warriors so far this season? I haven't talked to you about the Dubs. I'm sure you've been watching from afar. It's been a roller coaster for people covering the team, for the team itself, all the different lineups. What do you make of the Warriors so far this season with 12 games remaining in the regular season?
Well, B, it always is a roller coaster. Yeah, with this team, it's always a roller coaster, good and bad, because there's still so much interest in what they do night to night, not only in the Bay, but as Joe and I discussed a few weeks ago, the NBA so desperately needs the Warriors to be relevant and good, and they're not really that good, but they sure as hell are still relevant, because they have so many fascinating personalities on the team. Steph, obviously, at the top. The reality for them is, as a group, they're just not good enough. They are not good enough. This is the year, frankly, that I thought they'd have a couple years ago, and that's why you and I are always laughing, because the people really should enjoy the bonus title. That's not something to take lightly. The fact that they won that title a couple years ago is shocking to me. A couple years later, it's still shocking within that organization that they got all the way back up to the top. So, in the moment, they're just inconsistent. You guys hit on the reasons why all the time. I'm still listening every morning when I can, when I wake up. But it's Steph and everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's funny listening to the clip that we always play when I come back on the show, because, guys, the thought I've had, and I know you all have discussed it time and again, but just from a distance, what really shows up this year is just how much that Wiseman pick set everything back.
Mm,
yep. It was just awful. And it's the reality of being in the game and making the wrong draft pick, but there was so much hype that player, whomever it may have been, was going to be that bridge. Steph, Draymond, Clay, plus whomever it was, and that person was going to help bridge the gap into, you know, the next phase of the Warriors. And Wiseman wasn't good, and they whiffed terribly, and now they've got a real problem, because for as solid as Kuminga has been and the growth that he's shown, when you look at the roster, I'm not sure what the real fix is. Steph just turned 36. I mean, that's a real problem, and Clay is the player he is now, so you know, there are a lot of reasons why, but when you look back on the decision to take Wiseman and you realize just how badly that imploded for the organization, that is a huge reason why they're in the place that they're in right now.
That's a good point. Hey, Chasky, we were talking about that yesterday. they could have used a guy like Wiseman with every team in the West with the bigs and athleticism. It's crazy that Nick brought that up because that pick, whether it's Wiseman or not, is looming large over this organization.
There's no doubt. So let's spin this forward just a little bit because you know this guy and you know the team and you also know the NBA landscape. And at any time, any of these guys in this era can be disgruntled and want out. But just what you know about Steph and what you know about the Warriors and the NBA landscape, is there any part of you that thinks he might want out?
Zero. And Joe, I say that not only having talked to him about it for several years, but having seen how things can change. I mean, Lillard only ever told me and every other person, I'm never leaving Portland. I love it here. This is where I want to be. And Portland was on the verge of a serious rebuild. He went, hey, you know what? I don't think I want to stay.
Mm.
It means so much to Steph. And he said it over and over and over again to be in one jersey and in one place for his entire career. Now, that's all well and good when you're winning titles
yep.
and things are still fun on the floor. It's a whole different thing when, and I don't think the Warriors are walking into some kind of rebuild here this summer, but it's one thing when you're not competing for a title. And guys, this is another point that is so obvious, but I feel like it needs to be discussed even more. The Warriors, they could get into the play-in. Steph could create some magic, and maybe they upset, whether it was OKC, Minnesota, who knows. But we're at a point now with the Warriors where you go, they're just not good enough to win a title. This isn't a team that's going to be happy getting bounced in the second round year after year.
Yep.
So I say that in the context of I can't read Steph's mind in thinking, all right, well, that's good enough for him. Everybody seems to be in a good place family-wise. He's very happy out there in the Bay. But if you're happy and you have no chance to win a title, what's that worth? Yeah. Only time will tell. I just tell you right now, knowing what I know, having talked to him about exactly this over the years, it would be very, very surprising to me if Steph Curry didn't finish his career as a Warrior.
It'd be a little surprising, but we've seen anything happen in this league, Nick. No doubt about that. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. All right, Nick, since we have you on, and you obviously made the rounds for your Wiggins takes back in the day, but we see what Andrew Wiggins, boy.
Like, give me a better laugh than that.
Nick, oh boy. I know you don't get satisfaction out of seeing a player struggle, but the struggles have been alarming here. I thought he was the most important player coming into the season, and without his two-way play, the Warriors are now in 10th place. I don't think he's the end-all, be-all. He's the number one guy or the number one person to blame, but boy, he's having a career low in just about every metric possible here. So if the Warriors do want to move off from Andrew Wiggins, one, what type of value does he have? Does any team want to even touch Andrew Wiggins considering what's happened in the last 2 years on the court? I'm not even talking about off the court because we don't know what's happening off the court. That could be a real thing that's affecting his game on the court. But on the court, we just see what we see. And right now we don't see a player that played capable or played like the player we saw in the 2022 NBA Finals.
It's a great point because the Warriors don't win that title without Andrew Wiggins. And I say that as somebody who watched all those years in Minnesota and was shaking my head from the moment the Warriors made that deal. I mean, I was just wrong that he couldn't fit into the culture the way that he did and raise the level of his play. He was awesome. He was the second best player on a title team during that run. Having said that, he's just not close to that player anymore. And as far as trade value across the league, any player is capable of being traded. That we've seen that over and over again.
Always so a sucker in the NBA.
That's right. There's never a question that somebody can be moved. Somebody can always be moved. The question for Mike Dunleavy and his staff now is, what would you have to attach, probably picks-wise, to get off of that contract? I mean, that really, to me, guys, looking back, I mean, the pool contract is awful. They had to get out of that. Chris Paul, I don't think he has much of a future in the Bay. The Wiggins contract, you know, he earned after being that second-best player on that title run, but that looks awful now. They're going to have to attach some assets to get off that if they do. The Clay contract, as we know, that's awful. But, you know, we're going to see what happens this summer and where he may or may not go and what that price point looks like. But
stop you right there real quick. You think Clay's coming back? Because I get a gut feeling that Clay may move on. I just don't know what it, like, how could you, if the Warriors do want to resign Clay, and Clay's looking at Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green and the money they're making, if you offer Clay anything below what they're making, and I know it's not a like-for-like situation, but wouldn't a guy like Clay feel a little bit disrespected, say, wait a minute here, I've been part of this too?
B, to me, it's the question that is going to hurt and linger around the fan base the most this summer, because the three of us have had this conversation for years. Clay is beloved. He is beloved in the Bay. He has been such a focal point for everything that they want to do, but he's just not the same player. I think the answer to your question right now, looking ahead, is just how strong is that relationship between Clay and Joe Lacob? And I remember talking to Lacob after that series a few years ago, that last KD year when they beat Houston, and we were outside the locker room in Houston, and Joe was saying, Steph, I never want to see him leave, and Clay, we have built a very special relationship, and I don't want him to ever play for another team. Again, and it's interesting in the context of the Steph conversation we were just having, but that's all well and good when you're winning titles and you're playing at a Hall of Fame level. Clay, through no fault of his own, got injured twice, and things have changed, and he's just not the same player. So do I feel like he's going to feel like he's disrespected as far as the money goes? Absolutely. I mean, he's competitive as hell. He still thinks he can be that same player. He's just not. So the question becomes, just how badly does he want to stay? How badly is that legacy for him as not only an all-time Warrior, but as an all-time Warrior who never left and went somewhere else? He's going to have to take less money, you'd figure, to do that. And in my mind, it's going to be that conversation between Lacob and Clay and saying, all right, how badly do you want that to be part of your story, that you were one of those guys that stayed forever and ever? So there are always great questions and intrigue around this team, guys. But as far as Clay goes, would it surprise me if he left? Yeah, a little bit. But the Wiggins thing is just as big of a question, because when you're paying a player who's not living up to that max contract, and he certainly isn't anymore, on top of B, you mentioned, we're not sure what's going on off the floor, but something very clearly is amiss there. When you factor all that stuff in, that's why if you're a Warriors fan, Steph is Steph, and he's still incredible, but there are too many questions behind Steph to make you think that they're going to be able to turn it around to a point where, again, not that you're in the playoffs and you can be competitive, but that you're competing for titles, and I just don't see that happening again for this core group.
All right, insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Let's do a quick exercise here, all right? Quick exercise, Nick. One sentence on all of these with a percentage point here, all right? I want to rat-a-tat-tat this as I throw a piece of paper across, because you have so much money attached to your name.
Hyundai wrong. It's right. Hyundai, apparently.
Oh, I didn't know
that. We both said Hyundai. It's a San Francisco thing. Hyundai. Sorry, Nick. We just blew your money.
Excuse me.
Ate the car.
Percentage chance Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson are all playing together on the Warriors next year?
I would give it 51%.
Okay. Percentage chance Draymond Green and Steph Curry are here playing together with no Klay next year?
I would say still 30%, because I think they're all coming back.
Okay. What about Draymond getting traded at all?
Not high. Let's go with 20.
Okay. What about just Steph Curry here without Draymond and without Klay Thompson?
I don't see it. Okay. Let's go 10%, because Joe, you guys have nailed it in that anything is going to be on the table going into the summer, but I just don't see everything crumbling to a point where the three figureheads of this dynasty aren't going to be together.
Okay.
Could one guy, Clay or Draymond, be out? Maybe, but I just don't see that scenario playing out.
How about this one? Percentage chance Steph Curry and LeBron James team up in a Warrior uniform.
No.
I don't think
I'm having flashbacks to the days where I would look on the Zoom screen and I would see Mr. Shasky looking around and that huge smile was on his face like, yeah, I know I just threw out some BS, but I'm rolling with it anyway.
Yeah,
no.
Thank you, Nick. Those two are not going to be even up.
Gosh, and why is he kissing his butt? Why is LeBron James kissing Steph's butt so much?
I know it's wild, right, Nick? But like, I'm just thinking about my gig at NBC Sports Bay Area.
And how high the
ratings would be through the roof. But
Nick
I'll probably
be back on the beat.
Draymond wouldn't be the only one checking me on a post game interview. But also,
from one king to another.
LeBron, you hear LeBron the other day talking about his podcast. Like, this podcast was needed for the kids. And I'm just like, oh man, you imagine covering that every single day?
I mean, it would be nonstop entertainment, but in truth, guys, really, I think it would be bad for the league. And I say that sincerely because we've all discussed for years, it's LeBron, there's a gap, and then it's Steph. Those two teams day to day are the two teams that people care about, even casually. They always want to know what's going on with those two guys. If you put those two guys on the same team, for as much attention as they would get, and it would be off the charts, I think it actually hurts the league because then you're losing a large amount of interest in a Laker team that certainly is always going to be relevant, but take LeBron off the Lakers, and then it's just one team that everybody's locked into day to day. So
what about Kevin Durant coming? What about Giannis? I mean, come on, Nick. I'm dying here. No, the boat's taking on water.
No, truly, and we've come full circle now in the conversation. This is the problem. It really is. The star was supposed to be that pick. with Wiseman or Ball or whomever it was. It could have been Halliburton. I mean, we've gone through all the possibilities. That star was supposed to be the bridge, and that bridge no longer exists. And it's not that the Warriors are going to shrivel up and disappear now because Steph is still at that incredibly high level. But when you whiff on that pick and you can't just line up KD or Giannis to come on down like the old days from 6-7 years ago, if you're the Warriors, there's only so much you can do. Yep. And for as great of the decisions that Bob Myers and Dunleavy certainly in the draft have made, when you whiff on that type of pick, that has a lasting impact for years on an organization. And I think the Warriors are just starting to feel it now.
The downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
I hate you. Insider calls
are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, and standard third-row seating. All right, last one here. Since you said who's that star, who could you build around? Is Jonathan Kuminga a guy you could build a team around in the future? He's ascending in his third year. There's still some things he needs to work on, but is JK a guy you could build around here for the foreseeable future if you're the Golden State Warriors, Nick?
He's been really, really good. He obviously is putting in a lot of extra work, and the staff has helped him develop. But I don't, when I watch him, view him as the type of player who's going to ascend to that level. Because that's the other key. I mean, there's so much nuance always in this conversation with the Warriors, but with any team. It's like, okay, he looks a lot better, but can he develop into the face of a team or one of the stalwarts of that group every single night? And I think that's still what's missing from his game. He's had some unbelievable performances, but there's some other times where you watch him and you're like, all right, well, he's still got some work to do. So if we're trying to play it out, I don't think he can get to that point. But if he keeps improving, he's going to be somebody that they really, really need. But when you're used to winning titles, and that's the expectation.
Yeah.
anything less than that just isn't good enough, and those are the types of decisions that, Dunleavy and his group are going to have to really figure out here in the next few months.
Can you wire me $500,000? I owe somebody some money.
If I had it to give you, I could. I mean, I wish I had the codes, like, you know, eBay, and could just pop into everybody's account and pull everything out.
Are you in Orlando right now?
Yeah, I'm actually, you know what's crazy? I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm covering the game.
Oh, boy.
And the only game I've been to up to this point was that Warriors game in Chicago where they were booing Jerry Krause on the jumbo. But when I walked into the locker room and I see some of the guys and I'm talking to Kerr and everybody, they're like, "What have you been doing?" I'm like, "Not much." I mean, it's been an interesting few months. I feel like it's a strange bookend. Like, I see them in January in Chicago, and the vibes were way off, and now I'll see them in Orlando tomorrow, and we'll see where they're at heading into the last couple weeks of the season.
The Rockets are coming. We definitely have some intrigue there.
I love you, buddy.
We may need to get Nick on Warriors pre and post from Orlando or something like that. We'll just make up some. Hey, he works for the Ringer.
An appearance before me. I'm
holding Shasky back. The last thing we need is Shasky on Warriors pre and post.
Because
the end will be near. The end would be near. Joe Lincoln, what is he doing? He just made everybody tune out.
There's a new court jester in town, King. Step aside.
It never changes, and I love it. It never changes.
All right, Nick.
Have a good one.
To hear from you, brother.
Absolutely, always. Love y'all.
Love you too, man. Miss Nick Fernell, man. Miss Nick out here. He's one of the good guys. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Fernell. Insider Calls All brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick Fernell, whatever you hear from, whatever I would see
I
him.
Smile.
He just smile.
I
he just
him.
Look and he just smile and laugh, yes. And it could be about anything. One of my favorite, again, that Toronto trip, I'll never forget seeing him in that speakeasy.
The Toronto trip
was unbelievable.
I mean, geez Louise.
I mean, I swear to God.
It's almost like that Orange Bowl or Fiesta Bowl or whatever the hell.
Don't get me started about that. Wait till I start getting on a Rose Bowl. Do you realize that I was at Nick Saban's last ever football game?
And?
Coach of the team.
Coach K.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.